Hi again, everybody. I'm Dan Horde, and thanks for downloading the Bengals Booth podcast, the Our Future Days edition, as Dave Lapham joins me to break down the 2023 schedule. We'll discuss the big picture and take a week-by-week look at the Bengals' path to winning the AFC North for the third straight year. Plus, a pair of one-on-one conversations with a pair of Bengals draft picks. Cornerback DJ Turner, who tells us about his unusual first name, and punter Brad Robbins, who admits that he wasn't sure that was really Zach Taylor when he got his draft day phone call. The Bengals Booth podcast is brought to you by Paycor. More than 29,000 customers trust Paycor to help them recruit, pay, engage, and retain employees. Learn more at paycor.com. Now, here's a quick reminder that you can have the latest edition of this podcast delivered right to your phone, tablet, or computer by subscribing wherever you get your podcasts. It's the greatest thing since kids on video boards. Is there anybody more predictably excited than a kid at a sporting event who looks up and sees that he or she is on the stadium video board? You can picture it, right? They're up there for a couple of seconds without realizing it. Then somebody nudges them and tells them to look up, and suddenly you get jumping and pointing and dancing and flexing and any number of expressions of genuine joy. About the only thing that gets me that excited these days is when my 17-year-old son cleans his room, which, like a lunar eclipse, happens about twice a year. Now, let's get to football. We learned the Bengals' regular season schedule on Thursday night. We already knew the who and where. Now, we know the when. Here's a closer look with my broadcast partner, Dave Lapham. Lap, we'll get into some of the specific details about the schedule here as we speak, but big picture. When this thing came out, my first thought was, this is pretty favorable for the Bengals. There are no three-game road trips. There are no West Coast night games. All things considered, I think the NFL did them a solid.
I agree. I think it's a very acceptable schedule on many, many levels. I guess the only complaint might be the bye may be a little bit early, mm-hmm. You know, after six games, week seven is the bye. But, you know, then the Thursday night game is late enough the season where you get a mini bye after that Thursday night game. So that kind of makes up for it, I think, a little bit, you know, in that regard. So overall, I think it is a very, very favorable in my estimation. I think the rubber meets the road after the bye week when you got to go to San Francisco. They've only got two big trips. At Arizona, at San Francisco, and it's not that terrible because they're not an East Coast team. I mean, they don't have to go coast to coast anywhere. They've got the least amount of travel miles in the NFL from a scheduling standpoint. So that's in the second half of the season, and the San Francisco game's not really – it's right close to mid-season. After that, they really don't have any real long trips. As you said, Dan, night games are on a favorable basis. I think overall, I don't think you can lay anything from an excuse standpoint on, oh, man, that schedule that killed us with this stretch here. Overall, I'd take it all day, every day, twice on Sunday.
I was really surprised that they only got four primetime games. Now, the December 23rd game against Pittsburgh at 4:30 in the afternoon is going to be more or less the equivalent. They're treating it like Sunday Night Football on NBC. But primetime games are nighttime games. They only got four. The limit is six. They could get flexed, and at some point they might. But that did surprise me. I'm not complaining about it. I think it's good for the team. Primetime games are hard on the body, hard on everybody. But I was surprised that there are four teams that got six, I believe six teams that got five, and the Bengals only got four. Were you surprised?
The Minnesota game is kind of, you know, to be determined. I mean, if Minnesota's playing well, the Bengals are playing well, I could see that, yep. You know, being the fifth one. As you say, they could flex. But two Monday night games, one home, one on the road. Rams at home, Jacksonville on the road. The one Sunday night game is home against Buffalo. Thursday night game on the road against Baltimore. The other thing, Dan, as you mentioned, they have four second game of doubleheader scenarios, which is, you know, a big portion of the country will get the Bengals. All four of those are road games, every single one of them. Arizona, San Francisco, Pittsburgh, Kansas City, they're all on the road. So it is interesting in that regard. I think the Bengals, they're going to draw fans on the road. Those games are going to be obviously real enthusiastic, energetic. They want the nation to see the Bengals, as much of the nation as possible, on a more regular basis. But yeah, I thought they'd max out. I thought they'd max out with night nationally televised games as well.
All right, let's start from the top. Week one is a road game at Cleveland. The Reds are home that weekend. Historically, when the Reds are home on opening weekend, the Bengals open on the road, and that's the case this year. Cleveland has been the closest thing to Joe Burrow's kryptonite of any team the Bengals play. He was 0-4 before finally beating them in December. Your thoughts on facing Cleveland in Cleveland in week one?
Dangerous. You know, I mean, I think the Bengals, look what happened last year against Pittsburgh. Five turnovers, minus five, early division playoff, early division game in the schedule. Go minus five, five giveaways, no takeaways, and lose a game. They still could have won it and should have won it, but they lose that football game. I'm not saying that's going to happen, but that's the kind of thing that can happen. You do have to take care of business. As far as the division matchups, they start the season with Cleveland. They end the season with Cleveland. And really, it's interesting, Dan. They have back-to-back division games to start the season, Cleveland and Baltimore, Baltimore at home. Then they don't play again in terms of division matchups until the 16th of November. 2 months. 2 months. And then they go back-to-back again, Baltimore and Pittsburgh, the 16th and the 26th of November. And then you have to go, you know, they start the season with two. Little over halfway through the season, they have back-to-back. Then to end the season, two out of the final 3 weeks, Pittsburgh and Cleveland, sandwich around Kansas City on that 425 game against Patrick Mahomes on CBS. So, I mean, I think it's interesting the way they set the schedule with respect to the division. They start the season off with the division. They always want to end with division opponents league-wide because of playoff implications, tiebreakers and all that. But it's very interesting. Start it off, 2 months, another pair, a little bit longer toward the end of the season, and then your final division matchups. I mean, as we remember, they went 0-3 to start off in the division last year. You don't want to be in that type of situation. So you got to take care of business against Cleveland and Baltimore for sure.
So that season opener last year against Pittsburgh was the worst game statistically of Joe Burrow's career. He was coming back from the appendectomy. He can't go through that again. That can only happen once.
Right.
It would be nice, though, for Joe to go into a season opener not coming back from anything. Knee surgery, an appendectomy, knock on wood that he is, you know, completely healthy through training camp and can finally take the field confident, healthy and ready to go in week one.
Yeah, I mean, last year they didn't do anything as a number one offense in preseason games, basically. They were very minimal, if any, snaps, and Joe Burrow didn't take any of them. So, I mean, it'll be a different dynamic. They'll be much more ready, I think, lesson learned. And there's nothing you can do about an appendectomy. I mean, you know, no, you can't control those kind of things. That's in other people's hands. But, you know, you got to get ready for – you want to start off – in your division well. It is tiebreakers. You don't want to start 0-3 in the division and then have to win three just to finish at 500. You want to get off on the right foot up in Cleveland. If you can come into Cincinnati and beat Baltimore the following week with Lamar Jackson, all his new shiny toys at the receiver position, that would be a great start to a season.
All right, I'm glad you mentioned Lamar Jackson in Baltimore in week two, because the Bengals obviously ended the regular season last year with a win over Baltimore, opened the playoffs with a win over Baltimore, but they did not face Lamar Jackson in either of those games. The only time they faced him last year, they lost. He's 6-1 in seven career starts against Cincinnati, and now he's signed for multiple years, so they had better figure out a way to play better against Lamar Jackson than they historically have.
Yeah, and I'm very interested to see what Lou Anarumo's got in store for Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens with these new wide receiver weapons. I mean, I wonder how that will impact the way he has defended Lamar Jackson with that five-man front, you know, basically daring him to run the football and trying to take away those running lanes. It's going to be an interesting scenario. League-wide, I wonder how much different they're going to look at defending Lamar Jackson now that he's got these viable weapons at the wide receiver position. If I'm not mistaken, I don't think the Baltimore Ravens have ever had a Pro Bowl player at the wide receiver position in franchise history. I think that might be the case. And if that is the case, that's crazy. And they're trying to do something about it with all the weapons they went out and got.
Week 3, the first primetime game, a home game on Monday Night Football against the Rams, a rematch of Super Bowl 56. A Rams team coming off a 5-12 season the year after they won the Super Bowl. Matthew Stafford only played in 9 games. Cooper Kupp only played in 9 games. Aaron Donald only played in 11. That franchise is going through a turnover. They're going to a much younger roster. They've lost a lot of their key players. But those three guys should be back this year. And I imagine that Monday night home game in Week 3 is probably going to be the Ring of Honor game based on the last couple of years. So that should be quite a night at Paycor.
Yeah, I agree with you, Dan. I think that is going to be the case. I think that'll be a Ring of Honor induction ceremony for the guys that are lucky enough to be selected. And that should juice up the crowd big time. That should be a big factor in that regard. Just got to go out and play sound football. You know, when you're playing a team that's in the mode that the Rams are in, you don't want to help them. You know, you never want to turn the football over in any football game, but reality says you're going to, but you just hope that you don't have a ridiculous number of turnovers. I mean, nobody's perfect. You're going to have mistakes, but you can't have mistakes at the most inopportune times. If you can avoid mistakes, make big plays on a more regular basis, you're going to have a successful season and successful games. That's what they got to get done against the Rams.
In Week 4, it's back on the road for a 1 o'clock game at Tennessee. Third year in a row, the Bengals have played at Tennessee, beat them in the playoffs 2 years ago, beat them in the regular season last year. It was interesting, when they played last year, Tennessee, we all thought they were good. They were 7-3. The Bengals beat them. That was they got a playoffs game for the first time for Mark Duffner. And then Tennessee didn't win again. They were 7-3 and finished 7-10.
Unbelievable. And Mike Vrabel knows that. And Mike Vrabel is going to use that as a rallying cry. Were we walking together when Mike Vrabel was leaving the stadium that day? I'm trying to think of who I was walking with. And he walked to his car. He kicked his car, got in his car, and took off at a pretty high speed. I mean, Mike Vrabel is serious about the game of football. He's a physical guy. He'd like to decide a game instead of going to overtime. Go one-on-one at the 50-yard line in a nutcracker drill with the opposing coach. He's that kind of a guy. So it's going to be a physical game, and you got to remember it's a short week. Fortunately, the Bengals are at home on Monday Night Football against the Rams. But, you know, lick your wounds quickly, because one thing Tennessee's going to do, Mike Vrabel's going to make sure of it, they're going to hit you. So you better take care of your body on that short week when you travel down to Tennessee to take on the Titans, because you're going to have to buckle the chin strap up, you know, get the shoulder pads anchored and buckle the chin strap up a couple of times, get it going.
Depending on how Ryan Tannehill plays and how the team does, right. I wouldn't expect Will Levis to take over at quarterback by Week 4, October 1st, if he does it all.
Yeah, I mean, that might be a little early, potentially. If he does, it's probably not good for the Tennessee Titans. It means one of two things: either Tannehill has struggled or Tannehill is injured. If Levis is in as a starting quarterback at that point in time. So from Tennessee's sake, I should say, you have to think that Levis will not be the starting quarterback unless those circumstances arise.
Twice during the course of the season, the Bengals play back-to-back road games, and this is the first time, because after the Week 4 game at Tennessee, Week 5 is at Arizona, 4:05 Cincinnati time. So, like I said earlier, you hope to avoid West Coast time zone night games, because that's brutal when you come back and it's 6 in the morning. But in any case, based on everything I've read, it doesn't sound like Kyler Murray is expected to be back by October 8th. He tore his ACL in mid-December. Maybe that gives him a chance of being back by then. I guess Colt McCoy could be the quarterback. If so, I would like the Bengals' chances on the road at Arizona.
Yeah, no doubt. Old friend Colt McCoy did a lot of his games when he was at the University of Texas. A very, very smart football player at the quarterback position, has immense football IQ. You know, he's one of those guys that is like a coach on the field type guy. Teammates respond to that. So I think Colt McCoy brings more to the table than just the physical skills, because they're not upper echelon by any stretch of the imagination, but he gets the most out of what he has. And the one thing that his teammates and coaches know is that he is not going to put his team in jeopardy. He is all about making the right decision at all times. So you're going to have to play a clean, smart football game to take care of the Arizona Cardinals, but I think they're going to be able to do that.
The Cardinals went 4-13 a year ago. So after the back-to-back road games in weeks 4 and 5, it's a home game against Seattle. That's the game before the bye. Seattle is one of 8 playoff teams on the schedule. People forget, with Geno Smith having a Pro Bowl year last year, they went 9-8 and made it to the postseason.
Geno Smith is somebody you can't fall asleep on. There's no doubt about that. He's got weapons to throw to. That's a solid football team. Pete Carroll is a football lifer. He always maximizes effort of his football team. He's one of those guys that, you know, is, quote, cheerleader in the most positive sense that you can possibly think of. They respond to it. It's not phony. It's who he is. It's what he is. And he gets his players to play at an extremely high level. So you can't expect the Seattle Seahawks to travel in from Seattle. They're used to traveling. I mean, where they are, every road trip is a monster trip. So they're used to handling that and playing at a high level on the road, and he'll have them ready to play. So that's the last game. You want to go into the bye week on an upbeat, on an up note. You don't want to go into the bye week with Geno Smith having shredded you, or you made mistakes against that Seattle defense, who's more than adequate as well. So that's a big game.
Geno Smith only started one game in his career prior to this against the Bengals. It was a 49-9 loss when he was with the Jets. He threw 2 pick sixes in that game, so a repeat of that would be nice. After the bye, the Bengals are at San Francisco, a team that went 13-4 a year ago. And I mentioned 13-4 because the Bengals' all-time record against San Francisco is the opposite of that, 4-13, including the 2 Super Bowl losses. I assume Brock Purdy will be back by then, as he comes back from his injury when he was healthy and started last year. So I'm removing the playoff game where he got hurt and they lost. He was 7-0. Last pick in the draft, yeah. Mr. Irrelevant, and he turned out to be the guy that they expect to be their long-term quarterback.
Mr. Irrelevant certainly was relevant, you know, and he played that way. There's no two ways about it. Yeah, but if he doesn't make it, able to get there physically, Sam Darnold, Trey Lance, I mean, it could be a three-headed monster at the quarterback position. The early stages of the season, you don't really know. You got to figure by that time, October 29th, the end of the month of October, they will have had to settle in on somebody. And if Brock Purdy is healthy, you'd think that he would be the guy. But this is where we talked about earlier, the rubber meets the road after that bye week. And it's good. You have to travel to San Francisco. After the bye week is the perfect time to have to do it. You know, you can rest up during the week, travel out there, play the game, come back and get ready for a doozy the following week, because it's going to be a big, big battle in the next week.
That's for sure. Sunday Night Football at home against the Buffalo Bills. So back-to-back games against teams that had 13 wins last year. Yep. And the Bills obviously smarting for another crack at the Bengals after a 27-10 playoff loss at home. The thing that I'm wondering is, if DeMar Hamlin could actually be back and play in that game. He's been fully cleared to return to football. That happened in mid-April, so I guess it's at least possible. Can you imagine? I can't picture a visiting player ever getting a bigger ovation from Bengals fans than DeMar Hamlin would if he's able to play in that game.
You know, I think even if he's on the non-football injury list, you know, to start the season, or that, I would think some way, shape, or form, he's going to be part of the Buffalo Bills franchise. If he's not able to play this year, he is going to be a big part of it, because the guy isn't just the fact that he's walking around with his Buffalo Bill teammates is a rallying cry. And it is amazing, because Monday night football game, the season before, on a nationally televised game, is when he suffered the unbelievable injury that basically postponed and then canceled that football game. And if he's back, I would think that Buffalo would travel him. He would be on the sideline in some way, shape, or form. And I think that would probably be good for the Cincinnati fans to just, okay, let's close this chapter. We just saw him about a year ago in a very, very vulnerable situation. Look at him today. It's remarkable. That game has a lot of juice around it. There's no doubt about it. And for that reason, it's on NBC Sunday Night Football, and Josh Allen and Joe Burrow tee it up.
Tirico and Collinsworth in the house for the eighth game of the year at home against Buffalo. So the next week, the Bengals stay home. This is the ninth game of the year after playing the 49ers and Bills. Great teams back to back. They take on a Houston team that's lost 12 or more games now in each of the last 3 years. They've got a new coach in DeMeco Ryans. C.J. Stroud, I assume, will be their starting quarterback. In the under the category of games you got to win, I would assume a home game against the team that went 3-13-1 last year is probably at the top of the list.
Yeah, I would agree with you. C.J. Stroud, the second pick of the draft, is quarterback in form. And Will Anderson, they traded up to get him. Third pick of the draft is anchoring the defense coming off the edge. So they feel like they've got two marquee franchise-type players that they just got in this year's draft, but to expect both of these guys as rookies to be, you know, Pro Bowl performers, I think is asking quite a bit, and they should be able to handle the Houston Texans, there's no question.
So I think the toughest game, strictly in terms of day of the week or where it's being played, et cetera, is the Week 10 game at Baltimore. It's Thursday night football. We talk about this often. The Thursday night home game might be the biggest advantage you get because of the short week and the lack of travel. It seems like most of the Bengals' Thursday night games in recent years have been at home. Well, not this year. They're on the road on Thursday night. It's in Baltimore, where it's always tough to win, and the Ravens are especially tough in primetime games at home.
Yeah, a home division game, nationally televised. The Baltimore Ravens are going to ratchet up another notch. As high a level as they can play physically from a focus standpoint, from a mental approach standpoint, you have to realize that you're in for a battle royale. There are no two ways about it. You know, the good news is that, you play that Thursday night game, and we talked about the bye being a little bit early in the season. Like we mentioned, we were talking about that. They get almost like another mini bye with this Thursday night game because they get the extra days. They don't play for 10 days against the Pittsburgh Steelers, which is good. Another division opponent at home for the Cincinnati Bengals. That'll be very, very physical. So hopefully the Bengals will beat the Baltimore Ravens, you know, be able to lick their wounds as such. It'll be a physical altercation. There's no two ways about it. And then get ready for Pittsburgh. And the fact is, you know, the Pittsburgh Steelers franchise as well as you know any franchise. So you have a long week. It's you know them cold. You have time to rest your bodies, rest your minds, and get ready to play as good as you possibly can at the end of November on the 26th against the Pittsburgh Steelers.
No games against Pittsburgh in the first 10 games of the season, and then two games against Pittsburgh in a five-week span, basically, you know, two games in 1 month. Pittsburgh's going to be a really interesting team to me. They started 2-6. They finished 7-2 to extend Mike Tomlin's streak of never having a record below 500. I still don't quite know what to make of the Steelers. Are they back to being really good with Kenny Pickett? Are they just going to be, you know, 500 or slightly above? I'm not sure.
Yeah, I'm not either. I don't think they're going to look to Kenny Pickett to be the savior. I don't think they're going to throw everything on his shoulders. But I do think that he is capable. And I do think that he's a quarterback that can adapt to, you know, not being second fiddle as such, but knowing that the Pittsburgh Steelers philosophy organizationally is we're going to run the football, and I'm going to complement and supplement that running game with a passing attack. And I think Kenny Pickett has the mindset to take on that role and to execute it at a very high level. I think he's got his ego in check. I don't think that's going to be an issue. And I think he might be the perfect fit for what they're trying to do from an organizational standpoint. But will that be enough in the era of these great quarterbacks? I mean, you're talking 9 quarterbacks in the AFC potentially could, could make the Pro Bowl if they have great years, and all of them aren't going to make the playoffs. And he's not one of those nine. You know, he'd be the next level guy. So it's going to be interesting to see what transpires with Pittsburgh.
Depending on their health and how their team is doing at the time, the Bengals could face Pro Bowl quarterbacks in 12 of their 17 games, including the next one on the list. Their 12th game of the year is at Jacksonville on Monday Night Football. Trevor Lawrence went to the Pro Bowl for the first time last year. Just like Pittsburgh, the team they faced the week before, this is a Jacksonville team that started poorly, 3-7, finished strong, 6-1, rallied from 27-0 to beat the Chargers in the first round of the playoffs, and then had Kansas City on the ropes in the second round of the playoffs.
They were playing their best football at the most opportune time. You know, every team hopes to peak at the right time. The Jacksonville Jaguars peaked at the right time. They have a coach they believe in. They have a quarterback they believe in. And in this era of the National Football League, the head coach and the quarterback are huge. I mean, they're huge factors. And Jacksonville feels like they're on the right track. There's no doubt about it. They've got, you know, good players at a lot of places. This is a solid roster, up and down their roster. And all three phases of their football team can be a big factor in winning football games. And nothing to sneeze at. Monday Night Football in Jacksonville, challenge, to say the least, to start the month of December.
After that game, the Bengals come home for back-to-back home games, beginning with a rebuilding Indianapolis team in Game 13. The Colts only won four games last year. They drafted Anthony Richardson, number 4 overall, and I've got to think by December 10th, Anthony Richardson will be their starting quarterback. I could see Gardner Minshew to begin the season, but you got to think 13 games in, a guy taken 4th overall will be the starting QB.
I agree with you. I mean, knowing Ursay a little bit, and he will be very impatient, I think, in that regard. They are high on Anthony Richardson. They're high on what he can bring that football team, I should say. He is a freak of an athlete. He's a big guy, and his athleticism is off the charts. But seeing it before, sometimes it just doesn't translate totally. But I think he has the ability. His floor is so high. He's nowhere near his ceiling. You know, I think he's going to be, I don't know how special, but he's going to be unique. He's going to be different. He's going to be Cam Newton-like. Will he perform at as high a level as Cam Newton did? I think he has the potential, the ability to, but the proof will be in the pudding. But it'll be very interesting, the Indianapolis Colts at that stage of the season. I think at that point in time, Anthony Richardson will not only be starting, I think he'll have a few starts under his belt.
So the week after that, we know the Bengals have a home game against the Vikings, a team that won 13 games a year ago and made the playoffs before losing to the Giants. But we don't know when it is. Could be December 16th, Saturday. Could be December 17th, Sunday. Could be primetime. Depends on how good the teams are. The one thing we do know is that with Kirk Cousins and Jefferson and their skill position talent, that is going to be a difficult game for the Bengals defense.
It will. Bengals defense is going to be challenged. Minnesota Vikings defense stunk. There's no doubt about that. They struggled last year. How much of an improvement can they make? That's going to be the key, because this one could literally be a track meet. I mean, Kirk Cousins and Joe Burrow could put up crazy numbers. And I have confidence in the Bengals defense at home to not let Kirk Cousins go wild. I think Joe Burrow, if the Minnesota Vikings play defensively like they played last year, Joe Burrow could tear them apart. And if Kirk Cousins can't keep up on a score-by-score basis, there's a lot of pressure on the road, you know, to do that, particularly if both teams are vying for the playoffs. If the Bengals are making a playoff push, we know Paycor is going to be rocking, man. It's going to be going wild. It's going to be tough for Kirk Cousins.
So the next two after that are on the road, at Pittsburgh, at Kansas City. The Pittsburgh game is on Saturday, December 23rd at 4:30 in the afternoon. That's going to be a huge TV game on NBC. It's interesting. Christmas falls on a Monday this year. There is a Christmas triple header for the second year in a row. I think the NFL loved the way that worked out last year. There are full slate of Sunday games on Christmas Eve. The Bengals get to play on December 23rd, which, you know, it's a nice thing for family members of the players and coaches, and in a high-profile game at Pittsburgh.
Yeah, it's they're going to maximize The NFL is a 500-pound marketing gorilla, and they're going to maximize everything. Black Friday, they're taking advantage of this year from a scheduling standpoint. So expect the NFL to not be tunnel vision in terms of when they're going to play games, where they're going to play games, and everything that goes along with scheduling, because revenue is the objective. There's no question about it. It's my son Dave's birthday. He's mad that it's in Pittsburgh. He was hoping that it was going to be a game. If they were going to play on that Saturday, it would be here in Cincinnati. But 4:30 on NBC, the rematch with Kenny Pickett and that Pittsburgh Steeler running game and that very salty defense that they always have. And Mike Tomlin will have his team playing very intelligent football. One thing that you can count on, the Pittsburgh Steelers traditionally at this stage of the season are not going to beat themselves. I mean, they're going to make you finish them. They're going to make you knock them out. They are not going to, you know, let their guard down and let you take a haymaker on them. It's not going to happen.
The next to last game of the regular season is at Kansas City on New Year's Eve at 4:25 in the afternoon. The NFL did a solid for CBS to give them that game and that window. I think many of us wondered really for months if Cincinnati would be Kansas City's opponent in the kickoff game on that Thursday night before the first weekend of the regular season. Instead, the Chiefs are going to open up at home against the Lions, and the NFL is putting Cincinnati, Kansas City in the 16th game of the year, thinking this could very well be for the number one seed.
No question. This is a potential seeding game in their estimation if things go according to Hoyle. And the Bengals right now are Joe Burrow 3-1 against Kansas City. Just lost in the playoffs to Patrick Mahomes last year in a three-point game. I mean, they've been just riveting contests. I think every fan in the National Football League is going to circle that December 31st game at 4:25, that second game of the doubleheader with CBS, must-see TV. That is going to get stupid numbers. It's going to get probably record-setting numbers for that time frame of a Sunday afternoon. Would not surprise me whatsoever. It's a football game that people can't wait for, and it's going to be right at a very, very significant decision-making, potentially, time frame of the season for two franchises that have been battling it out the last few years.
And then a home game against Cleveland to wrap up the regular season. No word yet on when that game will be played. The NFL saves times and Saturday or Sunday for based on how things look going into that final week of the season. My dream is that the Bengals clinch the number one seed against Kansas City on New Year's Eve. And then, as they did 2 years ago when they ended the regular season in Cleveland, they can rest a bunch of guys before getting a playoff bye.
Three of the first five games of the season, the Bengals are on the road. Three of the last five games of the season, the Bengals are at home. And they finish up in a division game at home against Deshaun Watson and the Cleveland Browns. Be interesting. I can't remember a time where a division opponent, you started the season and ended the season with the same division opponent. That's very unusual to have bookends games like that for the Cincinnati Bengals. The Battle of Ohio Part 1 is going to be right away. The Battle of Ohio Part 2 is going to be, you're going to have to hang on for a while. And it's not what it used to be. The Battle of Ohio used to be unbelievable. It's lost some of its luster, and I hope it does. Honestly, I'd hope that it doesn't become what it was when both of those franchises were playing at that high level. I mean, I don't think everybody in the AFC North can be a playoff contender. I mean, somebody's got to take up the rear somewhere, so hopefully Cleveland might stay there for a while. That would suit me fine.
There are four opponents hosting international games. The Bengals were not selected to either go to London or Germany. Dave Lapham is not heartbroken by that development.
No, not heartbroken whatsoever. And the way you, as busy as you are during the fall season, that's got to be a relief for you from a scheduling standpoint and travel standpoint as well. I did get my fill of Europe travel doing NFL Europe games, and I really enjoyed it. But yeah, at this stage, I don't know, Dan. I think next year, though, how do we miss it next year?
Well, next year, The Bengals only have 8 home games, so they can't host an international game.
Travel.
They could travel.
Right.
2 years from now, when the Bengals have 9 home games,
again,
and it will be 9 years since they gave up a home game to go to London to play Washington, I think you can virtually guarantee, go ahead and book your tickets.
Yeah.
Well, we don't know where it would be, but I bet 2 years from now they're hosting an international game.
So in that case, maybe next year was safe. I don't know if they'd put them on in Europe 2 years in a row. They could, though, because, I mean, obviously it's one of the franchises everybody wants to see, including people in Europe, and they want to wave the marketing banner as much as they possibly can to expand the National Football League. So it's going to be interesting to see how that all shakes down.
Do you have any memory of getting the schedule in your playing days? Was it, you know, a phone call at some point in the off season? It certainly wasn't a nationally televised TV show.
Basically, the local newspapers found out before anybody. Just check your paper, find out who we playing. Oh wow, yeah. I mean, the writers, they had the information distributed to them from the teams, the league to the teams to the writers. Because I mean, in radio there were radio show, but not like, it wasn't sports talk, you know, and all that sort of thing. I mean, it was crazy. I mean, the daily newspaper literally was the Bible. It was the sports Bible.
Things have changed.
Whew, have they ever.
A couple of follow-ups on that conversation. Lapp was right. In their 27-year history, the Baltimore Ravens have never had a Pro Bowl wide receiver. Devin Duvernay was chosen last year, but as a return specialist, not as a wideout. On the other hand, the Ravens have had 4 quarterbacks go to the Pro Bowl, including Tyler Huntley. Yes, Tyler Huntley, who went last year despite finishing 48th in passing yards in a 32-team league. And this is not the first time that the Bengals will open and close the regular season against the same opponent. It's happened 3 times before, most recently in 2017, when the opening and closing foe was Baltimore. That was the year that Andy Dalton and Tyler Boyd knocked the Ravens out of the playoffs on New Year's Eve. The Bengals Booth podcast is brought to you by Kettering Health, the official healthcare provider of the Bengals. With more than 120 care facilities and 1,500 care providers, Kettering Health is committed to guiding you to your best health. Visit ketteringhealth.org to learn more. The Bengals opened their 3-day rookie minicamp on Friday, and we were allowed to observe them on the practice field for about 1 hour. Here's an observation about each draft pick. It's easy to see why Miles Murphy was their first rounder. At 6'5", 270, he's extremely quick, and in individual drills, he showed the ability to bend low to the ground coming around the edge like a motorcycle racer making a turn. We know that second-round pick DJ Turner ran a 4.26 40 at the Combine, the fastest of any player in Indianapolis this year, but it was interesting to see him run. He goes from 0 to 60 in a heartbeat, and has long, fluid strides. You'll hear him talk about that in just a bit. I was eager to meet third-rounder Jordan Battle after hearing coaches and scouts rave about his in-person interview at the Combine. When I asked him if he could tell how impressed the Bengals were at the time, he said, quote, "That was the goal going into every interview. How can I make these guys like me? How can I make them want to draft me?" Unquote. He's a smart kid. I spent quite a bit of time watching wide receivers Charlie Jones and Andre Yosivash, chosen in the 4th and 6th rounds, respectively. Jones showed his quick feet and ability to get in and out of cuts. Yosivash is all of 6'3", 205, and can really run. I'm looking forward to seeing Jones return punts in the preseason. 5th-round running back Chase Brown is chiseled, and I love his attitude. When I asked him about being in the locker room for the first time, he said, "The first thing I did when I came in here was to take a picture. I sent it to my mom and put it on my social page. It's unreal. Not only am I in the locker room, but my name is on a locker." I love that. While most of the players worked out in the indoor bubble, punter Brad Robbins kicked outdoors with special teams coordinator Darren Simmons. Reporters weren't there to observe, but one onlooker told me that Robbins' hang time was consistently around 5 seconds. Leading NFL punters typically have an average hang time of about 4.8. You'll hear from Robbins in just a few minutes. And finally, I watched cornerback DJ Ivy do some boxing-type drills with cornerbacks coach Charles Burks, and you can't help but notice his length. He's 6'1", and his arms are nearly 33 inches long. He has longer arms than two offensive linemen who were drafted in the top 50, Peter Skoronski, who went 11th overall, and Cody Mauch, who is chosen 48th. The Bengals Booth Podcast is brought to you by Bengals Picks and Ultimate Bengals. They're free to play with tickets and signed merchandise up for grabs. Find both inside the Bengals app. Now, time for my conversation with second-round draft pick DJ Turner. This is like a getting-to-know-you type weekend. You're meeting new teammates, you're meeting new coaches, you're meeting new staff. What are you hoping to accomplish, I guess, for lack of a better word, in this opening weekend?
I mean, just get the lay of the land, just get comfortable around here. Looking forward to meeting the whole team and just knowing the rookie so far. And, you know, just having a good relationship with everybody in the building.
You're sitting in front of your new Bengals locker. You got Bengals gear on. Does that make it all seem real?
Nah, it definitely does. It definitely does. Seeing, you know, the NFL, Bengals, the logo, like, it definitely does.
Since the draft, how have people reacted to you being selected by Cincinnati?
Oh, man, good. I mean, just from my former teammates, all happy. You know, and then my teammate here, you know, Chris Evans, Dax, you know, they're all happy. My family, you know, they're just like, this is what you worked for. So, you know, it's just great that it's all worked out.
Glad you mentioned Chris Evans, because everybody has talked about how you and Dax were teammates at Michigan, but you've got another guy that you spent a considerable amount of time with.
Yeah. I mean, because me and Dax was literally in the same secondary, so. Me and Chris Evans, he was there my sophomore year, came back when he came back, and we have a good relationship. He, as soon as I got drafted, he texted me too, called me, and you just like, let me know when you get here, all kind of stuff like that. So like I said, it's good. You know, I already have relationships with people in the locker room before I even came.
We're visiting with DJ Turner. The 40-yard dash time at the combine speaks for itself, but just seeing you run around out in this initial rookie workout, the amount of ground that you gobble up with every stride really stood out to me. It seems to just flow so easily.
Yeah, that's actually why I hope when people don't really know I am that fast, because I gain so much ground and not really look like I'm straining. Mm-hmm. And so unless you really look at how far I ran, or because, you know, some people take small, like short strides, so it makes them look faster, but I take long strides and I just cover ground, so you might not know. But yeah, like I said, since the 40, it's on everybody's radar now, so it's noticed now, so yeah.
Are you looking to put on weight in the NFL?
I'll put on a little bit of weight, but like I said, I don't want to put on too much weight because speed is my thing. Weight size isn't. So, but of course, you know, always trying to get bigger and stronger, faster. So, yeah.
It seems like, based on everything that I've heard and read, despite the fact that you're not a 200-pound guy, you have no problem sticking your head in there and tackling people.
Oh, yeah, no, I have no problem with that. It makes the game fun, you know. Sometimes that corner, you'll go a couple series without some action. But, you know, it just makes you get involved in the game so you're not falling asleep.
Since the pick, have you studied the guys in the Bengals secondary and tried to find, okay, you know, who can I learn from? How do I fit in?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I've been watching film. Just the corners. Wuzier, he a vet. Mike Hilton, he from Georgia, so he trained with my trainer back at home. Cam Taylor Britt, I remember playing him when we played Nebraska, so I remember him all the way back then. So I was watching him last year. It was just everybody, you know, Dax, I played with him, so I definitely been looking at everybody.
All right, final thing for DJ Turner. Tell me about your first name and why you go by DJ.
Oh, yeah, my first name is Wondrego. I go by DJ just because it was easier as a kid. Nobody could say my name for real, and I was getting frustrated, so I just said DJ. But everybody who knows me, everybody who, like, knows my name, they call me Wondrego. It's either I'm Wondrego or Drago. So, like, if you go back to my high school, IMG, Michigan, it, like, Dax don't call me DJ. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's if you know my real name, everyone calls me Wondrego or Drago, something like that. But DJ is just, you really don't know me for real. That's really what it is.
So when I'm broadcasting the games on the radio and you have your first NFL pick six, do you want a touchdown Juan Drago Turner?
Yeah,
or should I stick with DJ?
It's not. I like my name, you know what I'm saying? You said Juan Drago, DJ, Drago, you know what I'm saying? I don't know. I'm cool with Juan Drago, though. So like I said, that's what I'll go by. I mean, literally, like, even here, I'm going to go by Juan Drago here because there's three DJs on the team. So I already know, like, once they hear Dax call me Drago, they're going to be like, why is he calling about my name with Juan Drago? And they're like, Juan Drago? And then watch, I'm telling you, it happens every single place I'm at.
I like it. Unique names are great.
Yeah.
Welcome to Cincinnati. Great to have you on the team. Look forward to getting to know you better.
Thank you.
In 2015, the Bengals had A.J. Green, A.J. McCarron, and A.J. Hawk. Now they have D.J. Reader, D.J. Ivy, and D.J. Turner. He's right. I suspect his teammates and coaches will be calling him Drago. The Bengals Booth Podcast is brought to you by AltaFiber, future-proof fiber internet capable of delivering multi-gigabit speeds designed to take your home, business, and community to a new level. Elevate your connection with AltaFiber. Did you watch the video the Bengals posted after they drafted punter Brad Robbins? When he got the call from Zach Taylor, it sounded like he thought he might be getting punked.
Brad, this is Zach Taylor at the Bengals.
Oh, Zach Taylor, how's it going?
I'm doing great, man. You want to come be a Bengal?
Oh, absolutely.
All right. We're going to draft you right here.
Oh, yes, sir. Appreciate that.
You're up in Columbus right now?
Yeah, I'm up in Columbus.
Awesome. Well, we're happy to have you, and we're going to put the pick in right now, and then we'll be in touch with you later.
Holy thank you. Appreciate that.
All right, Brad. All right. We might have to edit that out on the video, but that's great, man. I'm fired up that you're fired up.
Thank you. Fired up. Thank you.
I discussed that phone call and much more with Robbins when we met on Friday. While your fellow rookies were working out in the practice bubble, I saw that Darren Simmons pulled you away to do something outdoors, I guess. What were you guys up to?
Yeah, we were just punting a few balls up in the air. Got over to the stadium. It was pouring down rain a little bit earlier, so we had the chance to be able to get out there and hit a few balls, get some holds in and all that kind of stuff, and wait for the returners towards the end of practice to come over there and catch some balls for us.
You probably like the opportunity to get you out in inclement weather.
Oh, yeah. Nothing different for me being from the north, you know, and well, originally from Ohio. I live for this kind of stuff.
You've got kind of a perpetual ear-to-ear grin going on right now. You're pretty excited to be here.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely a dream come true. Definitely the best case scenario for me. I just feel like overall, being from the Midwest, I've always wanted to stay in the Midwest, close to home. Being from Ohio, I'd like to come back to Ohio, right? Just really excited to, you know, kind of play my role and do what I can do to help the team and just be a member of the culture and help create a positive culture.
We're visiting with Brad Robbins. Everybody here, it's an incredible accomplishment to be in an NFL camp. In your case, you're competing for one of 32 jobs in the world. It's hard to be an NFL punter.
Right.
To make it this far has to be incredibly gratifying.
Yeah, definitely. And especially after, like, you know, the draft and stuff like that, I allowed myself about 2 hours to kind of let it set in. And, you know, my mindset is just that I'm ready to get to work and show what I can do and prove I can be the guy and just enjoy the competition and enjoy the environment, right? So, yeah, definitely.
I'm guessing that most of the people listening to this have seen the video of the phone call. People are wondering if you thought you got pranked. Did you think that was the real Zach Taylor? What was going on in your mind?
Yeah, it was a little surreal. I mean, just thinking about it, I have a lot of friends down in Cincy, and I had expressed to them, I was like, yeah, I think this situation could happen, and I would really like to be in this situation. And it wouldn't be far-fetched for one of them to call me and kind of, you know, egg me on a little bit. And I still didn't really believe it until I saw it on TV, and I was like, ah, wow, really? yeah, let's go, you know? But at the end of it all, you know, I'm just really excited to be a part of this culture and what a great opportunity to be. I think it was one of three guys that were drafted this year as punters, and definitely very blessed, very fortunate, and just excited to get to work.
So you didn't see the pick on TV until after you hung up the phone with the person you weren't quite sure was Zach?
It was about 20 seconds. I was pretty convinced at the end of the phone call. I was like, yeah, that is Zach Taylor. That was probably Zach Taylor. You know, all that kind of stuff. Then I saw my name on TV, and my parents were pretty excited, and I was pretty excited. But, yeah, just allowed myself to settle in and take about 2 hours, and then, you know, it's ready. It's time to get to work.
They've given you Kevin Huber's number. I'm not reading too much into that. There are only so many available
right.
for specialists. Was that a choice? Did you want 10, or did you just show up and see 10?
So, yeah, the story behind it, I mean, I was texted, like, here's a list of numbers. Pick what you want. I hadn't been number 10 yet, and I think it had slipped my mind that Kevin Huber was 10, right? Mm-hmm. So I was like, 10's probably the best option here. I think that would be good, but I'm not too picky or particular about numbers, so I kind of just closed my eyes and picked one. I was like, 10 works, you know? And sure enough, I Googled, like, punters that were number 10. Let's see who I can emulate here. And it was, I think one of them was, like, Johnny Hecker, but the first guy that popped up was Kevin Huber, and I was like, gosh darn. So maybe I can just blend in, you know? The fans won't know who it is. Maybe just sneak in and, you know, hopefully continue to – you know, have a good career, long-lasting career.
You punt right-footed, though, right?
Right-footed. They'll know.
Well, he was the last punter they drafted, right. And he had the job for 14 years, so that's pretty good mojo.
Oh, yeah. Guy never left Cincy. And, you know, I think definitely this environment, I think the Cincinnati Bengals in general, this is just my thought process, really like, especially specialists from, like, the Midwest, North, all that kind of stuff that kind of grew up in punting in this, you know, challenging conditions, especially, you know, the division we're in. It's, you know, all the games are outside, all the games are tough. There's always challenging wins. So growing up and being in that and always, you know, learning in that environment, I think will benefit me as well as the other guys in the specialist room.
I've asked several of your fellow draft picks this question. You're in front of your locker. You've got the name tag. You've got the gear. Does it make it all seem more real?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. It's a step in the right direction. I'm never going to be a finished product, just in my mind. I think I have plenty of room to grow. You know, my dad tells me once you know everything, you can't learn anything, right? So just taking that attitude of being really approachable and coachable by all the coaches and just and all the vets and players and stuff like that, and just whatever I can, however I can be a sponge to them and just kind of soak in what I can learn to stay in the league and on this team as long as I can. I'm going to try to take that and run with it.
Welcome to Cincinnati. Have a great weekend.
Thank you. You as well.
That's going to do it for this episode of the Bengals Booth Podcast, brought to you by Kettering Health, the official healthcare provider of the Bengals, by Bengals Picks and Ultimate Bengals. They're free to play with tickets and signed merchandise up for grabs, by Paycor, the official HR software provider of the Bengals, and by AltaFiber, future-proof fiber internet. Elevate your connection with AltaFiber. If you haven't done so already, please subscribe to this podcast, and if you have a minute, give it a rating or share a comment. That helps more Bengals fans find us. I'm Dan Hoard, and thanks for listening to the Bengals Booth Podcast.